Wow. Friday, 5 p.m. Very busy Friday if you're at all, if your life is at all like mine. But nevertheless, it is Friday, triple happy hour. Time for American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC, WHPC-HD. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales, is here. That means that I am here as well. Tom Ryan, your host for the next hour, if you'll have me. Of course, on Fridays, we call the show How Music Changed, when we go really deep on specific topics, which I consider to be topics which cover the most important aspects of the history of music. And I mean the full history of music, starting with Thomas Edison. And yes, we really did start with Thomas Edison singing Mary Had a Little Lamb in our very first show, all the way up to wherever we end. And I really hope I do live to be about 190 so I can get this whole series done. Who knows? Anything's possible, really. But we did start a series on Jimi Hendrix about a couple of months ago, 2.5 months, I suppose, to be exact, because we've covered 9 weeks of shows, 9 to be exact, and this is part 10. And those of you who have been following it will probably be thinking, finally, we are about to cover Jimi Hendrix's second album. It took us 9 weeks to get here with our timeline for the best and the most historic recordings of Jimi Hendrix. We finally reached December 1, 1967. We're not even out of 1967 yet. Amazing. But this is when the Jimi Hendrix Experience released their second album, Axis Bold as Love. In America, however, they withheld the release until January 1968. And that was probably because the sales for the debut album were still strong and they didn't want to compete against themselves in America. This time around, though, the album lineup was the same in America as it was in England, which was not the case with the debut album. So today we're going to cover the album Axis Bold as Love in its entirety. And let's see. Well, let's talk about the album itself. And one of the more interesting things that happened with the album, Chaz Chandler, Jimmy's manager, and Jeffrey, who was his co-manager, they were under pressure to deliver the album to Track Records to ensure that it would be readied for a Christmas release. They wanted to have it a few weeks in advance so people would be able to buy it for gifting. In the rush to finish, Hendrix managed to lose the mixes for all of what was to become side one of the album. And he did this during the early hours of Halloween in 1967. He went out partying, and Hendrix had taken the master tapes with him for safekeeping. He went off to a party, and coming back, he left one of the boxes in a taxi. You know, you hear stories like that a lot. I think that's happened. I would think about a half dozen times I've heard stories like that. Well, it was all scheduled for release and it was not to be found. So they had to ring up Eddie Kramer and they went back into Olympic Studios the following night and they mixed the entire A side of the album again, all in one night, which I think is rather incredible. So, they even had trouble with it at first. They were mixing it. They were saying, like, this isn't right, this isn't right. And they eventually found an old cassette. I think it was Noel Redding who had it, of the original mix. And it was literally an old, not very good cassette recording. But they used that as like a ghost to say, oh, yeah, that's what we did on that mix. So they were able to more or less use that as a way to pull together more or less what they believe that they had. Who knows, though, really, at this point in time? Even then, if they couldn't know for sure, we certainly wouldn't know now. But Jimmy continued with a very similar theme. You know, he's very obsessed with science fiction. The album, the first album was obviously just ladled with all these science fiction ideas. He starts with that again on this album, and he sets it up with more or less him fooling around for 2 minutes in the studio a section which isn't exactly a song. But then he goes into a thing called Up From the Skies, which is kind of cool what he does here, because he's actually playing like a jazz number. It's this sort of like a light swing thing where the drummer's like playing with Mitch Mitchell's guy playing with brushes on the song. But it's a song about a guy coming back to Earth and not being too satisfied about, you know, the way that Earth is handling things since the last time he's been there. It's called Up From the Skies. So we'll play the opening weird intro track, which is called EXP, with a bunch of weird sound effects and stuff and playfulness, into Up From the Skies, the start of the album Axis Bold as Love.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to radio station EXP. Tonight we are featuring an interview with a very peculiar-looking gentleman who goes by the name of Mr. Paul Caruso on the dodgy subject of are there or are there not flying saucers, or UFOs. Please, Mr. Caruso, could you give us your regarded opinion on this nonsense about spaceships and even space people?
Thank you. As you all know, you just can't believe everything you see and hear, can you? Now, if you will excuse me, I must be on my way.
I don't believe it.
Just a change of climate. see. So where do I purchase my ticket? Just like they have on Ringside Sea. I wanna know about the new Mother Earth. I wanna hear and see everything. I wanna hear and see everything. I wanna hear and see everything.
That's a loose change of pace, right? The Jimmy's kicking it off with something completely different with that track. I remember when I first heard it, I was like kind of befuddled by it because the first album was like so like kind of perfect in its form. And that was like such a weird intro for a second album. America was really strange too. And they took that song and they released that as a single in America, which I don't think anybody remembers. It got no higher than number 82. So I think that the record label in America still did not really understand how to handle Jimmy at all. They really thought that he was too, too dynamic for radio. And they were trying to find like songs that were maybe had a lighter touch so that it would be like a little bit have more broad appeal. They really didn't get the heavy rock and roll thing that he was doing, which brings us to the next track, which is very much that heavy rock and roll thing. See, the record label like didn't get tracks like Foxy Lady in America. And which was one of the reasons why they were withholding some of those songs when they were getting huge airplay in England and being top 40 hits. They weren't even being released in America until the album came out after Monterey. So here is a song which I would say is another like a pre-heavy metal type song, very much in the style of Foxy Lady, a song called Spanish Castle Magic. Now, the song takes its name from a Seattle nightclub, which is where Jimmy grew up. If you listened to the first eight shows, you probably would have known that. And it's a place where Jimmy hung out sometimes, and he played there occasionally as well. It was a pretty cool place, apparently. Legendary bands from Seattle would play there, like the Fabulous Wailers, people like that. And an interesting instrumental note about this track I read is that Noel Redding is actually playing an eight-string bass, a Hagstrom eight-string bass. Apparently Hendrix even grabbed it and used it for some overdubs on the song just to make it sound as crazy as a Hendrix song really ought to. So here it is, Spanish Castle Magic.
About half a day to get there. If we travel by my dragonfly. No, it's not in Spain, but all the same, you know it's a good name. And the wind's just right. Hey! The clouds are really low, and they overflow with cotton candy and battleground, red and brown. But it's all in your mind. Don't think your time on bad things. Just float your little mind. Look out! Yeah, baby.
That's a track that could have probably fit just nicely on the first album. So you got some sort of a tie-in there. But things change up again pretty quickly with the next track. So one thing that Jimmy was doing up until this point, including the songs we've just heard, Jimmy was like very much a psychedelic writer. He was writing a lot about science fiction and situational things that were going on in his head and thoughts that were mostly like head poetry, things like that. He wasn't writing very much about situational stories the way that a lot of other writers would. This happened, then that happened. In fact, I can't think of a single example of him doing that at all up until this point. But that changes with this song. It's called Wait Until Tomorrow, and it's about him convincing his girlfriend that they should be basically leaving home, running away from home to live together on their own. And it's basically, you know, a boy-girl thing. And it doesn't turn out good when he ends up getting killed by the girl's father at the end of the song. I never really even paid that much close attention to it until I started getting ready to do this show. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty heavy. And yeah, it's just, there's that. There's that. So it's very different from anything that Jimmy had done up until this point. So we'll do that. And since the track after it is relatively short, we'll segue it into that. We'll play them both back to back. Another song called Ain't No Tellin'.
Well, I'm standing here freezing inside your golden garden. Got my ladder leaned up against your wall. Tonight's the night we plan to run away together. Come on, tell me, there's no time to stall. But now you're telling me.
Yeah, surely one of the shortest songs on any of Jimmy's albums. In fact, that song, Ain't No Tellin', is shorter than the intro piece that started this album, that EXP bit. That was a minute 55, but the song, Ain't No Tellin', is only 146. Now, I'm going to read just a small segment to set this one up from the book that I have that was written by Jimmy's half-sister, Janey Hendrix. When it was completed, Axis Bold as Love offered a winning blend of well-crafted songs and superb playing by each member of the Experience. The album, Hendrix decreed, was designed to showcase the group's skills apart from his guitar playing. His facility with graceful ballads, such as Little Wing and Castles Made of Sand, showed his remarkable range. I dig writing slow songs because it is easy to get more blues and feeling into them, explained Jimmy. Most of the ballads come across in different ways. Sometimes you see things in different ways than other people see it. So then you write it in a song. It could represent anything. Some songs, I come up with the music first, then I put the words that fit. It all depends. There's no certain pattern that I go by because I don't consider myself a songwriter. It's amazing. Not yet, anyway. I just keep music in my head. It doesn't even come out to the other guys until we go into it, go into the studio. So here's an example of that, which is just goes to show you how remarkable Jimmy's mind was and the way it worked when he was writing a song. He said that he was standing on stage at Monterey, and he's looking out at the crowd. And well, these are his words. I'll just let him tell the story. I got the idea, like, we were in Monterey, and I was just looking at everything around. So I figured that I'd take everything I see around and put it maybe in the form of a girl, maybe, something like that, you know, and I call it Little Wing. And then it will just fly away. Everybody's really flying, and they're really in a nice mood, like the police, and everybody was really, really great out there. So I just took all these things and put them in one very, very small little matchbox, you know, into a girl and then do it. It was very simple, but I like it, though. Now, this is one of the most beautiful love songs written by maybe anybody, and it's so popular, and it's been covered by people who have made it so famous in their own right. In the cover versions, that it's almost impossible to believe that when Jimmy did it at first, it's almost like it's a toss-off. His version of this song is less than 2.5 minutes long. I will say this, on this entire album, there are 13, well, if you count the intro, there's 13 tracks. There's 12 songs on the album. Only two of the songs on this album became part of what he would perform live. This is one of them. But it's only two of the 12, which I think is incredible. Here's Little Wing. Thank you. I always feel robbed with that fade out. I always do. Like, you're kidding me. I just don't believe it. I think that I always knew this song from the live versions when he would stretch it out. Or maybe it's because I eventually got to know it through the versions that were done by Eric Clapton, Derek and the Dominoes, or maybe even Stevie Ray Vaughan, where they would play the song for 7 or 8 minutes. And it sounded normal, you know, great when it was expansive. And here's the man who wrote it and put it out there, and it's 2.5 minutes. Like, it just seems like a mistake. Like, it just never should have been that way. But at least it's there, because we know that I'm going to be able to play this song again in this series a few times from live performances, and I'm going to look forward to that very much. Okay, we got one song left for side one. Legal. Oh, Heidi's right. It is halfway through our hour. So I should mention that you are listening to American Hit Radio on 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. And we are here every Wednesday and Friday from 5 until 6. We've been doing this for quite a while now. I hope we could do it for quite a while more. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope you can stick with us. This Hendrix series is just one of very many things that we do. And I can also mention that, as you've been listening perhaps to the segments that the station is kind enough to air for us about our website, that we have American Hit Network at AmericanHitNetwork.com. Or if you just search for American Hit Radio, it pops right up. All of these shows get saved on the website, and you could hear the entire Jimi Hendrix series. You could hear every show that we've done in the past 20 years, just about. The entire Wednesday series, which by now is up to something like 500 albums that we've covered in full. That's amazing, I think, that we have all of them saved in a website. And just about as many shows in the How Music Changed series. So you can flip through it, find an artist that you love. My gosh, just for example, the Motown series goes on for like 60 weeks. So there's a lot to see. And there you have it. So check it out if you wish. So where were we? Oh, yeah, the last track on side one for the album, Axis Bold as Love, is a song called If Six Was Nine. Now, again, from his half-sister's Janie's book, of all the songs on the album's magnificent first side, the final mix of If Six Was Nine proved the hardest to recreate. I told you about how they almost messed it up. The Experience had recorded the song 6 months prior and set it aside for the album. We kept saying to ourselves, I'm sure this isn't the sound that we had originally, remembered Chandler. Fortunately, bassist Noel Redding had that consumer-grade tape copy of a rough mix on a small 3-inch reel made the previous June. A taxi was dispatched to retrieve the reel, and they didn't lose that this time, and work began in earnest. It was on a tiny little spool and was all wrinkled, explained Kramer, who managed to salvage the mix. Thusly, the album was finished with this track and this mix. One of my favorite songs from the album, here's If Six Was Nine.
Sing a song.
If the sun refuses to shine, I don't mind, I don't mind.
Yeah.
If the mountains fell in the sea, let it be, it ain't me.
Yeah.
Now if a six turned out to be nine, oh, I don't.
off all their hair. I don't care. I don't care. Dig. Cause I got my own words to live through it all. And I ain't gonna copy you.
It's cool, man.
Play a song, man.
Finish yet, brother.
Nice.
Got more to say. White collar conservative flashing down the street, pointing their plastic finger at me. They're hoping soon my kind will drop and die, but I'm gonna wave my brief flag high. Oh! Just don't fall on me. Go ahead on, Mr. Businessman. You can't dress like me. Yeah. My life the way I want to. There. Sing on, brother. Play on, drum.
Heidi's always telling me I'm talking too much, and she's always 100% right. So I got to play side two. as quickly as I can. We're going to open with a track called You Got Me Floatin'. What you might not have known about it is pretty interesting, is that the background vocalists are the two guys from The Move who were working in the studio next door, Roy Wood and Trevor Burton, and they got invited in to sing. And we'll let that segue into Castles Made of Sand, which is sort of an autobiographical song about Jimi Hendrix and his own life as a child. And we'll be back after those two.
Well, you got me floating around and round, always up, you never let me down. The amazing thing, you turn me on naturally, and I kiss you when I please. There's only one thing I need to really get to me there, is to hear you laugh without a care. What I'll say now,
you got me floating, hey, round and round, you got me floating,
heads over heels for you. And when the day melts down into a sleepy red glow, that's when my desires start to show.
She slams the door in his drunken face, and now he stands outside, and all the neighbors start to gossip and drool. He cries, oh girl, you must be mad. What happened to the sweet love you and me had? Against the door he leans and starts to sing, and his tears fall and burn the garden green. And so castles made of sand fall in the sea eventually. A little Indian brave who, before he was 10, played war games in the woods with his Indian friends. And he built a dream that when he grew up, he would be a fearless warrior Indian chief. Many moons passed, and more the dream grew stronger, till tomorrow he would sing his first war song and fight his first battle, but something went wrong. Surprise attack killed him in his sleep that night. And so castles made of sand melts into the sea. Eventually.
young girl whose heart was a frown, cause she was crippled for life and she couldn't speak a sound, and she wished and prayed she could stop living, so she decided to die. She drew a wheelchair to the edge of the shore, and to her leg she smiled, "You won't hurt me no more." But then a sight she never seen made her jump and say, "Look, a golden winged ship is passing my way." And it really didn't have to stop, it just kept on going. And so castles made of sand slips into the sea eventually.
All right, so I got 13 minutes to play 13 minutes worth of music, so let's see what I can do. Next track up is called She's So Fine. Then the other one is Jimmy with another one of his dream songs. This guy has wild dreams. He's always talking about things that he dreams about, skies with 1,000 stars and moons and blah, blah, blah. And it's called One Rainy Wish. We'll play him back to back.
Let's
The only way to fit the solo in is I'm going to have to talk over the next track, Little Miss Lover, as it plays. Because I forgot to mention that the track She's So Fine is the only song on the album not written by Jimi Hendrix nor sung by him. That was a Noel Redding composition. The bass player wrote She's So Fine. And the last song on the album, Bold as Love, it's really saying something to call that song Jimmy's most remarkable song to date. But there it is. I said it. Maybe it has his best guitar playing in the entire year of 1967. And that's how the year ends, with this amazing, amazing, phenomenal composition, Bold as Love. So I'm proud to play it and make sure I get that in within the hour that we have. And that's why I had to interrupt Little Miss Lover. I apologize, but there was a reason for it. See you next week, folks. Thanks.
Excuse me while I see if the gypsy in me is right, if you don't mind. Well, it signals me okay, so I think it's safe to say I'm gonna make a play.
Metallic purple armor, queen jealousy envy waits behind him. Her fiery green gown sneers at the grassy ground. Blue are the life-giving waters taken for granted. They quietly understand. Once happy turquoise armies lay opposite ready, but wonder why the fight is on. But they're all. My red is so confident he flashes trophies of war and ribbons of euphoria. Orange is young, full of daring, but very unsteady for the first go round. My yellow in this case is not so mellow. In fact, I'm trying to say it's fighting like me. And all of these emotions of mine keep tolling me from giving my life to a rainbow like you. But I'm a, yeah, I'm bold as love. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm bold, bold as love. Give me time to go. I'm bold as love. Just as the answers. He knows everything.